Many people's experience of bike share schemes is one of bikes turning up in public places. But some people have looked beyond that and claim that it's more of an issue perhaps of a lack of infrastructure that saw the exit of many of the bike share commercial for-profit companies leave the marketplace. And Ian Buchanan recently co-authored an article for theconversation.com with a number of colleagues that did look at the lack of infrastructure in our major cities, and he joins us on the line. Good morning, Ian.
Good morning.
Look, Ian, what has been the experience for the number of for-profit commercial bike share schemes that have recently exited most of our major cities?
Yeah, look, I think there's two issues. One is some of those companies failed for their own reasons, having to do with their own sort of business plans and so forth, which didn't really work. But the point that we wanted to pick up on was the fact that people were blamed for just leaving bikes everywhere as though it was a kind of a problem of carelessness on the part of people, and point out the fact that there really isn't any parking. And also it's a perception issue in the sense that people left bikes where they could, but given that there was no actual designated parking spots, where else were they supposed to leave them?
Now, many councils claim that they support, increased journeys on push bikes. Cities like Melbourne and Sydney have actual targets for that. Why do you think that they weren't sort of backing up companies that brought in these bike share schemes with, increased parking?
Yeah, for us it was a really interesting kind of contradiction because on the one hand, every major city in Australia has a plan that says they want to increase active transport, which is both walking and cycling. But all their regulations around the bike share bikes were from the point of view of environment, and therefore they were effectively treated and viewed as rubbish. And all the regulations were about maintaining the kind of the look of a city rather than whether or not they were providing transport. So it seemed to us that there was a major contradiction in the way in which they were regulating it and, in fact, thinking about it.
Is the problem, Ian, people aren't necessarily as familiar as they are in other places in the world with, how these bike sharing things are meant to operate? I might see one of these and I think, how do I activate it? Where am I meant to take it? This information isn't really all provided when people use these bikes. Is it a problem of messaging?
Look, I think that's part of it. There certainly needs to be more training in terms of how these things might work. But look, our main point was just you can't allow a business to basically put 10,000 bikes on the street in Sydney and say, just, park them anywhere you like and not expect people to get upset about that. And if you're going to allow them to do that, then you have to make provision for parking. But it goes beyond the bike shares. One of the things that we point out in our article is most train stations in New South Wales, for example, like in my local area in Wollongong, our local train stations have bike parks, secure bike parks for three bikes, which is never going to be enough to increase the number of people using bikes to get to the train station instead of their cars.
I know absolutely what you mean there, Ian. I actually used to live in New South Wales, on the New South Wales Central Coast, and we had a bike area there that could take over 60 bikes, and then that went down to about 15, and the car park was increased. So that doesn't really send a great message to people who want to ride their bike to the railway station.
Exactly. And, if you go to places like Japan, which is, one of the unsung heroes of cycling, like people always think about Amsterdam and Copenhagen, but actually Japan has a massively high participation rate for cycling. But in Japan, people cycle to the train station and then catch the train to work. So most of the transport is known as intermodal, using one form of transport to get to another. But they don't use cars. And in fact, in Japan, bike usage is far greater than car usage. And the simple reason for that is that people cycle a short distance to the train station, park their bikes in a secure park, jump on the train, go to work.
How do you overcome the attitude that some governments might use to justify their lack of expenditure on the basis that, well, a lot of people who drive their cars don't really care too much for cyclists, so why should we spend their tax dollars on enabling, making the city more user-friendly for cyclists?
Yeah, it's a really good question, and I do kind of pull my hair out trying to think about how we might do this. But I think if you think about Sydney traffic, but even also Adelaide traffic, this kind of reaching a moment where people are just starting to realise that the traffic is basically gridlocked most of the time, and we really do need to start doing something. Not only that, and this is going to be true even if we move away from fossil fuels to electric cars, we're still going to have gridlock. So the traffic congestion problem, I think, is going to reach a crisis point where eventually government will just have to say, we've got to do something. And bikes are clearly going to be one part of that solution, demonstrated to work in Japan, in Amsterdam, Copenhagen and elsewhere.
Well, before I let you go, Ian, do you think that there's a growing support for change and that we might see the return of some of these companies into our cities?
Yeah, it's a good question. I don't know if we'll see a return of dockless bikes because I think the reaction against them was very strong. But that doesn't mean that bikes themselves will be, not considered as part of the solution. I know that, as I said before, every major city in Australia has an active transport plan, and they're all trying to figure out how they can integrate more cycling and more walking into their transport plan. So it's there, it's going to happen. I think the major problem is that there's such a strong reaction from certain drivers towards cyclists, making it, genuinely dangerous to be on a bike on the road. But until that's dealt with, it's going to be very hard to increase the number of people using bikes because people are just scared.
Well, thanks so much for joining us this morning, Ian, and let's hope for a bit of cultural change.
Yes, thanks very much.
You've been listening to Ian Buchanan. He's a Professor of Cultural Studies at the University of Wollongong, and he was talking there about the use of bike share schemes in our cities and the lack of infrastructure to support them.